You know, tonight I want to talk about something that actually statistics say that it's a subject that everybody deals with. And it is, statistics also say that it is the source of a lot of physical and emotional strain or problem. I want to call it living above stress. Stress. You know, I think we all have to deal with this. I had one person say amen. Evidently, I'm talking to a stress-free bunch in here. According to the American Psychological Association in 2011, they said that 44% report their stress level has increased over the past 5 years. And it's over money, work, the economy was the most frequently listed sources. You know, from the webmd.com, it says, the statistics say that 43% of all adults suffer adverse health effects from stress. Now listen to this one. 75 to 90% of all doctor visits are stress-related ailments and complaints. They go on to say that stress plays a major part in the physical and mental problems such as headaches, high blood pressure, heart problems, diabetes, skin conditions, asthma, arthritis, depression, anxiety. And according to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, and any of you that have done any building or construction know it as OSHA. We know about that around here. They declare that stress costs the American industry more than $3 billion annually. Excuse me. Now, you see, we naturally deal with stress with physical exercise and different meds sometimes and different things, and the list can go on. And we need to do everything that we can in the natural to relieve stress. But we as believers have another source. Come on now. Yep. That is better than any of the others that I've even listed. And that's a spiritual source. Excuse me. I don't know what's going on. It ain't stress. It's something in my throat. I don't think the devil wants me to talk about stress here. Huh? It's not. Now, we need to do all we know to do in the natural. We don't disregard the natural. But we need to incorporate the spiritual part along with the natural. And of course, I have a favorite saying, the natural and the supernatural coming together make the explosive force for God. So we use the natural and the supernatural. Now, stress is talked about in the Bible. Actually, in Psalms 119, 143, the New Living Translation says, as pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. This is David talking. The Message said, even though troubles come down on me hard, your commands always give me delight. So here, the psalmist is implying that he's dealing with stress and situations, but he does something about it by delighting himself in the Lord. Several times in the Psalms that David says he delighted himself in the Lord. That means he went and worshiped and praised the Lord. And you know, you can't worship and praise the Lord without it building you up. I mean, you can't even say the name Jesus about 4 or 5 times without you on the inside, you start to get a lift. Let me know what I'm talking about. See, by one thing we can do, and the number one thing we should do, is to delight ourselves in the Word of God. You know, it will change everything. You know, I'm going to go a little different on this, but I think you'll understand. Mark 4:18-19. Mark 4:18-19. I'm going to read it from the New King James and the Message. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The Message says it like this: the seeds cast in the weeds represent the ones who hear the kingdom news, but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard, and nothing comes of it. So we would say it this way: even though you're reading the word, if you're not careful, stress can nullify what you're hearing, because you're concentrating on it more, it chokes it out. It says here, you know, the people that receive the word but then allow the stress to continue, they reap no benefit. Now, how do we live a life without stress? It comes by learning how to live above the things of this world that cause us the stress. He wants us to learn to live in His Word and what He says, and not allow all of the things around us to stress us out. You know, a lot of times the Christian, when things come in on them, they began to allow fear and worry to push them away from the things of God. Now, let me show you a little secret here. All right, Miss Lynette had to choose this carpet that would be in this whole big, off of one of these squares that's about, oh, what is it, 2 feet? It's 12, is it 12? By 12. And then she said, man, I got a house. So she got several of them. We put them down in here. But even when we put 6 or 7 of them here, compared to this whole thing, and we made a choice, or she made a choice, and now she would have to tell the devil, hey, I made the choice. It's going to be all right. Because he kept trying to push in on her and say, oh, you have no idea how bad that's going to look when it gets in that whole auditorium. And now she's got to pick that fabric from a little piece about like this. You know, well, one piece of fabric can look one way, but when you get this many benches in here with the fabric, it looks completely different. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? And you know, this color up here, she had to do the same thing. And the thing about it is, what if you got to be sure that it's this come, you know, when they make it, you can have the same color, but it's made at a different time, and it really doesn't match. Yeah, the wood. That was a tough one, the wood. But you see, we could get stressed out over that. In fact, changing the pews here. changing and making the TV deal back there. I mean, you know, you in your mind, the enemy can deal with you and cause you to get stressed over stuff like that. And see, that's where you have to go to the Word of God and say, hey, I am going to live above stress. Enemy, you cannot stress me out. You know, some people are always dealing with some kind of crisis. And when you see them and you ask them how they're doing, they want to tell you about their crisis and every little detail about it. Anybody ever met somebody like that? There's some people I got where I just say hello. I am not about to say, how are you? We say that all the time. We don't really want to know how they are. Am I right or wrong? It's just a saying. But there's some people, if you ask them how they are, you might well sit down. Because you're going to be there about 2 hours. We can't receive from God living a stressed out life. Now, let's look at Moses. He had some stress going on in Exodus 18. I'm going to start with the 13th verse. I'm going to read this from the Contemporary English Version. The next morning, Moses sat down at the place where he decided legal cases for the people. Everyone crowded around him until evening. Jethro saw how much Moses had to do for the people, and he asked, "Why are you the only judge? Why do you let these people crowd around you from morning to evening?" Moses answered, "Because they come here to find out what God wants them to do. They bring their complaints to me, and I make decisions based on God's laws." Jethro replied, "That isn't the best way to do it. You and the people who come to you will soon be worn out. The job is too much for one person. You can't do it alone. God will help you if you'll follow my advice. You should be the one to speak to God for the people, and you should teach them God's laws and show them what they must do to live right. You will need to appoint some competent leaders who respect God and are trustworthy and honest, and then put them over groups of 10, 50, and 100, and 1,000. These judges can handle the ordinary cases and bring the more difficult ones to you. Having them share the load will make your work easier. This is the way God wants it done. You won't be under nearly as much stress, and everyone else will return home feeling satisfied." Here we see Moses trying to do more than one person can do. He was overworked. Jethro, his father-in-law, saw this, and he shared with Moses how to get out from under that kind of stress. You see, he had to learn to delegate to others. You know, sometimes the way we're handling our work is causing us stress, or more stress, I should say, than is necessary, because we're trying to do everything ourselves instead of getting the help we need, are delegating it to somebody else. Now, another thing that causes stress is waiting until the last minute to do something. You ever notice God didn't wait till the last minute? He had it planned out in there. He tells you what to do. You know, many times, trying to do things above your level of knowledge instead of hiring a person that's their area, you down there trying to do it yourself get all stressed out. You know, I was talking to somebody about something the other day. I don't know what it was. And I said, listen, that is your field. And spiritual things and theology is my field. You take care of that, and I'll take care of this. See, they ain't no use for me to go down there. That's not my area. Even though I know a little bit about it and I could do something, hey, that's not what I do. Hello. You know, my grandson Cameron is in charge of the Rhema garage down there, and he went to school, to mechanic school, and hey, I'm not going to go down there and try to tell him how to work on the car. I could work on the old ones when they had distributors and generators and not alternators and not all this electronic stuff. I mean, you know, hey, the reason some of you are stressed out is you're trying to do something that you're not qualified to do. Now, I'm going to step on some toes right now. But you know, on Wednesday night, Pastor likes to just get out and just get down there with you where you live. There's some of you wanting to do things in the ministry that you're not qualified for. Come on. Don't shut me down now just because I'm preaching real good. Fella I'm named after used to say that all the time. But you see, we're all not qualified to do some things. There are some people that, and I don't want to make anybody mad, but I've had to deal with this, and I've told several people that wanted to pastor, and they go out and try, and they mess up with them. I said, you are not a first man. You are a great second person. As long as somebody's giving you vision how to do something, you're great. But if you have to start creating and getting it on your own, you mess up. Now people are looking at me funny, but that's the truth. There's nothing wrong with being an associate. There's nothing wrong with being a children's worker. There's nothing wrong with being a parking lot attendant. Come on. In the ministry of helps, it's listed right there with the pastor and the evangelist and the apostle, all of them. And I'm going to tell you what, they're going to get the same reward. Go over there to the talents. The guy that got five and the guy that got two, they went and advanced theirs. But when the reward was given, they both got the same reward, although one of them was a five-talent person and the other was a two-talent person, and the one-talent person went and sat down and did absolutely nothing. Come on, yep. Come on. And the Bible says that he kicked him out. Yeah. Come on. That's good preaching. Yeah. You know. Another thing we need to do to keep ourselves from being stressed out is to figure out a better way to do things. See, Moses sitting there doing it all, his father-in-law figure sat there and watched it, and he said, well, wait a minute. And he told him a better way to do it. You know, there's stress in a lot of situations that you can't change. But get this, but you can change the way you handle it. One person said, it's not stress that kills us, it's our reaction to it. William James, American psychologist, said, the greatest weapon against stress is our ability to choose one thought over another. Taking control of your thoughts will help you to live above stress. You have to guard your thinking and take control of your thoughts. Now let's look at some things here. instead of thinking about all of your situation and your problem and your stress, start thinking about God. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." In the NLT, it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." And then 1 John 4:16 of the Living Translation said, "We know how much God loves us, and we put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in us." See, stress can't rule us when we start thinking about the love of God that's come into our lives to change us. Stress can't rule us when we dwell on thoughts of who God is and what God can do, understanding that God keeps us from stress and fear. Stay calm. Stay calm. You know, the reason a lot of people mess up when there is an accident or something happens, they don't stay calm. And when you're not calm and under stress, you can't think properly. How many military guys I got in here? One of the things they taught us, no matter what's going on, no matter how much fire's going over your head, no matter what is happening, stay calm. Am I right? You, my military people, if I'm right, raise your hand. Stay calm. You can't assess the situation when you don't stay calm. And that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to get all upset. Then there's no scripture coming to you. There's no word coming out of your mouth to satisfy you, to settle you down. You know, help me understand what I'm saying to you. You got in the middle of the worst stress you've ever been in. You got to believe God's working it out. Ain't no use for me to be stress-free or be stressful. God's working it out. My dad was one that he never let anything bother him. Mama said to him one time, "I don't guess you'd get so upset if me and the kids died." He said, "Why was you getting upset then?" I'm serious. I'm serious as I can be. His trust was in God. His thoughts and his thinking was on God and not on the situation. The Word of God says that all of these things are temporary and they'll pass. Am I right or wrong? But that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to get all tangled up into it until you can't even think about what God has to say about the situation. Now, the most of the time, stress brings on fear. So now we cannot allow thoughts of fear in. See, you ever read Paul's missionary journeys? I think he had plenty of opportunity to be afraid and anxious. He said, "Don't be anxious for anything." Romans 8:15, New Living. "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father." This is Paul writing. And the J.B. Phillips says, translation says, "Nor are you meant to relapse into the old selfish attitude of fear. You have been adopted into the family, been adopted into the very family circle of God. You can stay with a full heart, 'Father, my Father.'" 2 Timothy 1:7, we all know it. "God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind." Under stress, you get into fear, and that's not in line with the Word. The Word says that we not been given a spirit of fear. so we can then tell stress to take a hike. Because I've not been given a spirit of fear. New translation, New Living says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. The voice says, you see, God did not give us a cowardly spirit, but a powerful, loving, and disciplined spirit. Paul understood who he was in Christ, and he continually thought about who he was in Christ, not what was happening to him, not what was coming to him. Not what he was going through. You've got to continue to think about who you are in Christ. And because of who you are in Christ, no weapon formed against you will prosper. So why get upset? Why get stressed? You know, I was 35 years old when Dad looked at me and said, you're to do Rhema. You see, all he did was say, we're going to do it. We're going to have a Rhema. Or he said, we're going to have Bible school. We named it Rhema. Do you think there are plenty of times could have got under stress? I'm not going to give you the figures, but the figures to build this building and finish it in 1992 are staggering. I asked Charlie what it would cost today, and it's really staggering. But you know what? The devil can come at you and say, hey, man, you bit off more than you can chew. You better start trying to figure out what you're going to do and blah, 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 blah. You know, how many know what I'm talking about? I mean, back when we was building SDC 1, SDC 2, and the old warehouse down there, all three of those buildings were coming together at one time. Any of you know anything about building buildings? When they start coming to finish, you got all of these contractors out there with their hands out wanting payment, right? You got three buildings coming at once. And the devil starts saying, man, you're going to tear down in 2 years what your dad has built up in, what was it back then? I don't know, 45, 50 years. 40 years, I think it was. You know, and I could have got stressed out. But I said, no, I'm not. I'm not worried about it. Why worry about something when you know what God has said in His Word? And God, if you will trust Him, He will bring you through the storm. He did not say we were not going to have trials and tribulations. That last verse there in John says it. The book of John says, I have told you these things because in this world you're going to have troubles and tribulations. That's stress. But take courage. Be of good heart. Be glad. I have overcome. See, I'm thinking about, we got to get our thinking right. Think about what God said. What God's going to do. Not what's happening over here. Yeah, it's real. I didn't say it wasn't real. But it's temporary because God can turn it around. You know, David had a lot of opportunities. Look at this. Psalm 27:1. He had a lot of opportunities to be afraid. But then he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? We could say it like this. The Lord is my light, my salvation. So why should I be stressed out? Come on now. The Lord is my fortress. He protects me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies, foes attack me, they stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. What do you remain confident? He remained confident knowing that God was his protector. God was there for him. And he did not yield himself to fear and stress. Stress opens the door for fear and every kind of other thing to come in and start pounding us in our mind. Not in our heart, in our mind. We have to let this Holy Spirit out from inside and bring the word up to our mind. Hello. Stress is built on fear most of the time. And it's not even based on actual fact. How many of you ever, when you were a kid, ever heard a noise and you scrunch up in a little ball and pull the cover over your head? Come on now. You become afraid of something that didn't exist. Oh, that's somebody breaking in. No, it wasn't. It's just the dog fell up against the front door. Now, here's another thing we need to realize that will keep us out of stress. Refuse to think about tomorrow's problems or tomorrow today. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. New Living says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worry. Today's trouble is enough for today. If you're going to live stress-free, you focus on today and don't worry about tomorrow. It's going to be there when you get there. Well, what about this? What about that? Hey, I've got to focus on today. Don't stress yourself out thinking about tomorrow. What it could be. John Newton says, we can easily manage if we will only take each day the burden appointed to it. But the load will be too heavy for us to carry yesterday's burden over again today, and then add the burden of tomorrow before we are required to bear it. How many times as we're going through life do we get to the point that we're worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, and it keeps us from being able to sufficiently handle today? People say to me all the time, well, what about the future? I said, well, the future will take care of itself. Right now, I got to take care of today. What about the school tomorrow? What's going to happen in the future? I said, I don't know. Well, aren't you concerned, stressed out about it? No, I'm not, because I'm following God one day at a time. That's where your problem is, and that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to get in looking out here a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now. No, you can't live like that. You live it one day at a time with God. You walk one day at a time with God, and don't worry about tomorrow. I understand that we realize there's some things we need to be concerned about, but concern and worry is two different things. Now, another way to stay stress-free is to cast your thoughts of worry and care on the Lord. Psalms 55:22, NLT. Give your burdens to the Lord. He'll take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. And then we all know what Peter said. Give all your worries to God. He cares about you. J.B. Phillips said, you can throw the whole weight of your anxiety upon him, for you are his personal concern. The Amplified says that he cares about you affectionately. You know, some people, anytime you talk to them, they're not talking about what's going on today and what's being accomplished today. They're talking about, oh, what's going to happen tomorrow? What do you think's going to happen tomorrow? You know, people ask me all the time at the start of the year, oh, what do you think that this next year is going to be? I told one guy and he sort of didn't like it. I said, you know what? This next year is going to be exactly what God said it would be as I believe his word. One day at a time. I'm not trying to live December 31 on January the 1st. But some people do. How many of you ever met people that's always, at the first of the year, they're thinking about the end of the year? The end of the year will be there if God don't come. I'm going to walk with God. See, we got to get to the point. If you want to live stress-free, walk with God one day at a time. Take it one day at a time. That's what I did when those three buildings were coming on. The devil told me I was going to tear the ministry down. I stood on my Bible and I said, "Nah, Lord, how are we going to do this?" He said, "Well, how much money you got?" I found out how much money we could spend that day in accounting. He said, and I had a stack of bills. He said, go find a bill. I went and found a bill and paid it. I did that every day for 30 days. And then at the end of 30 days, I don't have no stack of bills no more. But when we first started, the accounting department said, we ain't got that kind of money. We can't pay that's so many $1,000. We don't have it. They got all stressed out about it. I went to God and I said, okay, God, how are we going to do it? You notice I didn't get stressed out. I went to God and said, how are we going to do it? That's what you got to do. Not get stressed out. Go to God and say, okay, God, how are we going to take care of this problem? What I need to do so you can work. You see, I've noticed with God, it's a partnership. We do certain things and then God comes in. How many ever noticed that? See, go to him, find out. That'll keep you from being stressed. Come on. I guess I better hurry. I'm overtime, ain't I? I want to finish this. Think thoughts that help you rest in the Lord. You see, the enemy will try to bombard your mind with all this stuff and cause you stress. Isaiah 41, 10 through 13. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand, my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. And all those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing. As a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying, fear not, I will help you. Amen. Stress comes a lot of times from what's happening around you. Did you see here what the Lord said? All this stuff happening around you? Hey, fear not, I'm with you, I'm here, I'm going to help you. Amen. You know, things are changing around. People get upset. Isaiah said, rest in the Lord. Let him consume your thoughts. Think about how great he is. Think about how he has delivered. Go back into the Old Testament. Think about how he delivered the children of Israel. Think about how he delivered, how David killed the giant. Think about how the prophet outran the king's chariot all the way across the Jezreel Valley. Think about all of those things. Think about what Jesus did in the New Testament. Then begin to think about the apostles and what they did and what the early church did. Hey, the book of Acts is still being written. That's the early church. Acts 28 wasn't the end of the Acts. We are still the church that's writing the rest of the history. And we'll be writing that history until Jesus Christ splits the clouds of glory and takes us out of here. And the church age ends. There's no use of us being under stress. There's no use of us living a life under stress. All we got to do is say, all right, God, here I am. I'm not going to be stressed out because your word tells me that if I will believe you and if I will stand on this word, I'll come out on the other side because of who I am. Who are you? You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are somebody going somewhere to dare tear up the devil's kingdom. You are somebody that's going to tear him up. He can't move in your life unless you allow him to. Stand up and thank God because you can be stress free because of who God says you are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Praise God. No more stress. Hallelujah. Bow your heads for just a moment. If you happen to be in this place today and don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, my ministry team is coming. The men will be over here on my left, your right. The ladies will be on here on the other side. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, know what it is to serve Christ, but you need to rededicate your life. Or you need somebody to pray with you to receive the Holy Spirit, or some other problem you need someone to pray with you about, step out from your seat right now. Walk down here. The ladies walk over here. The men walk over here. And these people will pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. So all you've got to do is move now. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Just move out. If you need somebody to pray with you about something, come now. All right. Connection team, go find those first-time guests. Take them to receive that special gift. If you're a first-time guest and you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. You found it right here. Come on, join us. We're living life unlimited around here. Stress-free, having a great time with God. I didn't say we weren't going to have an opportunity to be stressed. I didn't say it wouldn't come. I said we don't have to live with it. Hello. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hey, we still need help doing different things. Go sign up. Read it there in the bulletin. Hey, Sunday morning right here at 10 o'clock. Then Sunday night, Winter Bible. It is going to be great. Hallelujah. There's our Rhema College basketball teams will be playing Friday night and Saturday, but Saturday's the homecoming game. The girls play at 4 and the guys play at 6. They say the Brazilians have already called, and there's going to be, I don't know, about 200 of them, they said. And man, they call. They want to. They get over there. They get to hollering like they do at the soccer game. Ole, ole, Rhema, Rhema, Rhema. Hey, come and support the guys. It's a really big game. We need help. So come and support, okay? And then be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and all next week. I'm already charged up. I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. It's going to be good. And you're going, as my dad used to say, if you miss it, you're going to miss half your life. Amen. Hey, if you need prayer, you can still come to the front right now and they'll pray with you. Shake hands with somebody and say, I'm going to live stress-free. What about you? God bless you. We'll see you Sunday right here.